ladies and gentlemen, freaks and geeks, grab your smokes and take some tokes, because it's time for Fatal Four-Way Radio with your host, Minister of Sinister, brought to you by Bud Backroom. And now,
today I've got, as always, our second episode in. Headliner Joe Bates is with me today. How are you doing, Joe?
Oh, I'm doing good, man. I'm in the exotic world of a Target parking lot right now.
A Target parking lot. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, for those of you who don't know, Joe Bates is a comedian, and he's on tour right now, so he's in downtime right now, and he found a way to call us from the parking lot of a Target. Thank you very much, Joe Bates. Thank you.
Yeah. No problem. Anything for you, Minister. What was that?
Where are you at tonight?
I am at the Cave. It's not a cave. It's a bar called the Cave in Weston, Missouri. Headlining a show out here. Should be fun. I've never done the venue before, but I just got a great feeling about it, you know?
Yeah. Sounds rad, man. Sounds pretty cool. I'm pretty sure you're going to kill it. I'm pretty sure you're going to kill it. So let's go ahead and get started with our chatter for today. We're going to do some, we're going to talk a little bit about SmackDown. I thought it was a better show than what I had read. I had read that it was like not too good, and you know, some people were complaining about it. But I thought it was all right. It added a little bit to what we have going on. Going into WrestleMania, I felt like the storylines were advanced a little bit. So we got started with SmackDown, and it was a package in the opening with Daniel Bellow's beatdown from last week, where Zayn and Owens beat him down. To close out the show last week. And, of course, they set us up for an update, which would come later on in the show. But then we went right to the ring, man, and we had Bobby Roode and Randy Orton come out, separate entrances and whatnot, versus Jinder Mahal and his crony, one of the Singh brothers. But Singh had been beat down last week, and he was left lame, wearing a freaking neck brace and everything. But the Maharaja announces that he has been replaced by Ruru the Lion. And so the Lion, Rusev, comes out. And, of course, he ends up getting a pin with a Machka kick on Orton for the 1-2-3. And, Joe, what were your thoughts on this match and the segment as a whole?
Well, you know, last night, I had a pretty heavy day drinking, you know, and I woke up this morning with a hangover, so I didn't know what day it was. I looked at my calendar. It's Rusev Day today. I don't know
Absolutely.
If you know that. but yeah, well, you know, I was happy with the match. I was happy with the match because what happened with Rusev. I like Rusev being successful in wrestling. I get a little worried every now and then with how they're booking him. But I gotta be honest, I don't know how everybody else feels out there. I feel like Jinder Mahal, Bobby Roode, and Randy Orton have been doing the same match every week over and over. It's been the same thing. Jinder says something, and then Randy Orton and Bobby Roode hit each other. And it's like, okay, I get it. Like, we get what it is. Just have something different in the storyline. And I guess they're doing that with Rusev, which is nice.
Yeah, it's for me, you know, I've already started watching again about 3 weeks ago, maybe 4 weeks tops. And for me, it's actually good to see Rusev getting some action because I had heard that he had been kind of like maybe, you know, on the back burner for a while. So, you know, getting to see him in this match You know, who knows? He could come out victorious at the end, and we can get something going with this guy, because I sure would hate it if they, you know, pulled a Bray Wyatt on Rusev. I mean, I think he's a talent. And, you know, Bray Wyatt, it's a shame. It's a shame what happened with Bray Wyatt. He could have been something special if they – I don't know if they had that in mind and then they killed it for some reason, you know, some nefarious reason, whatever the hell. It just didn't pan out with Bray Wyatt, and I hope it pans out for Rusev, because I think the guy is very entertaining. And, you know, frankly, I thought it was a shame that he wasn't involved in anything for WrestleMania. I mean, I thought that just the other day. So it's good to see Rusev getting some action, and he will be in the Fatal 4-Way match, is what he said. Because we came back from commercial, and they were backstage. And you know what? This was the best segment, Joe, I thought. The segment where the Maharaja was telling Ruru that he's going to give him a front row ticket to WrestleMania. But then Ruru turns the tables by announcing that he's going to go ask Daniel Bella to turn the triple threat into a fatal four-way match instead. So, I mean, I laughed my ass off at Maharaja's response, making Sin take off that stupid neck brace. I just thought it was very amusing. But what did you think about that segment? And also, what about Aiden English? What happens with him?
Aiden English is always going to be... I'm surprised they found something to do with Aiden English, but it's good, because what he's doing right now is like Rusev's manager or just cheerleader. He's doing great. I love Aiden English a whole bunch. I think the problem with WWE struggles with is like there's so much talent on the roster right now, and everybody deserves like a title. I would say like 80% of the wrestlers out there deserve like a push for the title or to be part of the show, but there's just not enough space. And sometimes people will get like the short end of the stick. Rusev is definitely one of those guys. Also, WWE has not been very good outside a couple people at doing storylines that don't involve the belt. If there's not a belt involved, they're not very good at like getting rivalries set up. And I don't know. I think they just struggle with, like, unless they're going for something, they don't know how to write it. And the good thing with Bray Wyatt, you know, you brought him up. I think Bray Wyatt's going to be back pretty good next year because of the whole Matt Hardy rivalry. He's going to come back as, like, a guy helping Matt Hardy, which is going
to
be sweet.
Yeah, well, he got thrown into the lake of reincarnation, though. You never know what's going to happen there. He might come back as that giraffe, for all we know. I mean, Matt Hardy has a freaking giraffe as a pet.
I love this kind of a tangent. How do you like the Ultimate Deletion? Did you like that?
I thought it was strange. You know, for me, it would have been so much better, or it would have been good. I don't know, man. I mean, I guess it was all right, but I just didn't like the whole part where they had a wrestling ring out there. I mean, here are these two badasses, evil guys or whatever, you know, one evil guy and one guy from, gosh, who knows where, from outer space or whatever, and, you know, they meet up out there in the woods, and then there's a freaking wrestling ring there. Come on, man. I could not get past that. When they made it to
the
wrestling
ref,
ring,
too.
I was like, what's that?
I love the ref. There's just a ref there.
Yeah,
the referee is in this compound repping a match, and then, like, when he goes back home to the WWE headquarters, he's like, I guess I believe in magic now, guys. I don't know what I saw out there.
Yeah, it was something else. But, yeah, he did get thrown into the lake of reincarnation, so I fully expect him to get, you know, repackaged somehow, some way, and we'll see where he goes. But I thought that they ruined an excellent opportunity in Bray Wyatt becoming something special. And I certainly, you know, I hope they don't do that with Rusev, because, you know, that guy, to me, I find him very entertaining. And it would just
great.
Be a damn shame if they do that with Rusev. Also, Aiden English, I am completely on board with this guy. I mean, he's, I think he's a talent that is just, you know, I hope he hasn't met his glass ceiling yet, or reached his glass ceiling, because that guy, I think he could do something special character-wise, even if it has to be as a manager. I don't know. I just saw them erase him yesterday. You know, it's like they took him out. They advanced Rusev, but, you know, Aiden English, for sure he'll probably be in that battle royal. Moving on.
Yeah.
That was fought by AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura. In a setting where I noticed some improvement on Shinsuke's character, and we had a little bit of discussion on this in Bud's back room, who, by the way, talking Bud's back room right now, let's see here. Yalissa saying she can't stand Stephanie. She brings nothing to WE, just trash. Just trash. So Bud's back room
doing
is a place
job.
To be. Yeah, Bud's back room is a place to be while you're listening to this show. Also, follow us on Facebook. I think I managed to somehow get a Facebook page going with this, and it is, let's see here, World Generation Podcast, at World Generation. So check that out on Facebook, and we'll need some followers there. So if you guys use Facebook, go there. But I think Facebook is on its last days, so I don't know. It seems like it. Seems like every time I turn on the news, everybody's bitching and down on Facebook, and it's like, man, I never really cared for it to begin with, but here I am having to use it as a medium. Moving on.
It's a weird
right?
thing. I like it.
It is, man. Moving on, let's see what's on tap. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just saying, we're the wrestler. We're just not on Facebook now, but
I like the
Nakamura Styles thing, man. I thought that was
he delivered a promo. Yeah, he delivered a promo in a way to where he connected. You know, at least he connected with me.
Yep.
He had this sympathetic feel to him, and I applaud him for that. But has he done anything to connect with you as a fan?
Oh, well, I mean, when Nakamura came and he had his fight with Sami Zayn in NXT at the TakeOver, I think, like 2 years ago, I was sold. I thought Nakamura was, like, the best wrestler I've ever seen. And he hasn't really hit that peak since then. But this was the first time that I've seen him give a promo that I was interested in, and I really enjoyed it. So, with the one he gave with Styles there, and then later on at the end of the show, I thought Nakamura had done a great job at what his character is, where it's kind of like a cool, calm, and collected weirdo.
A cool, calm, and collected weirdo. And
yeah,
he definitely can kick some ass. I'll tell you what, though. I wasn't too impressed with this promo, and we talked about this in Bud's back room about an hour ago, I think it was, about his promo at the end of the show. But the promo that he cut right there in the back, I thought it was very well executed. And, you know, it made me at least interested in him. I had not been interested in this guy before. So now I think I'm a little bit more interested in him, and we'll see where his character goes from here. So then after that, a filler match with Becky Lynch versus Ruby Riott. And, you know, this match, they're both going to be in the Battle Royale, Battle Royal, whatever. I just fast forwarded through the match. I saw that Becky Lynch raising her hand high in victory at the end, and that's about it. You?
I love Becky Lynch. I think Becky Lynch is great. She's fun. But this whole Ruby Riott thing, I just feel like they had no idea what they're doing with it. It's the same with like Paige's Absolution over there in the Raw. I feel like it's just aimless things that they're just kind of, they thought they would do something to shake out the women's division, but it's really, again, just made it a bunch of three-on-three tag matches or these one-on-one tag matches, and it's like, with the two managers there, they're going to try and beat them up in the stable, and it's just repetitive, it's annoying, it's lazy storytelling. I have not been a fan of the Ruby Riott part, but Becky Lynch, she's over, man. She's great. She's fun. She's probably my favorite face wrestler, like baby face wrestler of the women's division. But yeah, Charlotte. And, I mean, Asuka's probably my favorite women's wrestler, but Becky Lynch is she's fantastic. Are you there? Am I talking to the void now?
Well, yeah, we can. I mean, you know, I wanted to touch a little bit on Becky Lynch since you did bring it up. And by the way, I'm so glad that you talked about that match because I really had nothing to say about it. I didn't even watch it, but I certainly do appreciate your input on it. But to getting back to Becky Lynch, since you brought it up, though, you know, I saw her do a promo similar to what Shinsuke did last night. I saw her do a promo like that, I don't know, several months ago, maybe a year ago. And, you know, I thought she can do a nice, effective promo because sometimes she talks like, you know, it's so noise, and it,
yeah.
Man, it just gets on my nerves. But when she does a promo where she's like, where she speaks, you know, in a soft or in a way where maybe it's not live, probably a pre-recorded promo, I should say. You know, she can get her point across and it comes out to where it's not so forced. And I just wish they would do things like that with these people that have a hard time cutting in-ring promos because, you know, I think it would be more effective. And also, you know, we're missing a lot of, we were just talking about this in Bud's back room. We're missing a lot of the soap opera stuff. They're not doing the soap opera stuff the way they used to. Man, I'm all about that shit. Give me the soap opera. Give me the angles and all that stuff, and I'm a happy guy. This doesn't seem, you know, we're 2 weeks away from Mania, a week and a half or whatever, and it seems like everything is still scattered. Nothing is set up for me. I'm not edging off of my seat the way I used to be. But maybe some people are. Maybe some people are. I don't know.
There's very few things right now, storyline wise, that are really exciting. Like the Shinsuke Styles match, that's, you know, they haven't really built that up other than to say it's gonna be a good match. And it will be a great match, but there's no real storyline to back it up. Lesnar Roman Reigns, there's a bunch of beating each other up until they fight in WrestleMania. There's not a real storyline there. The Daniel Bryan thing is probably the biggest storyline, but it's, again, it's just like the stipulation that they're going to lose their jobs if they lose. You know, KO and Sami Zayn are going to win this match now. And it's probably going to be Daniel Bryan turning on Shane McMahon or something like that.
Well, I don't know, man. I don't know. And we're going to get that to that right here momentarily.
Yeah.
So let me move on here. We had a hard break then, and then we came back to Daniel Bella coming out. Great segue. Daniel Bella coming out to the ring. Of course, the fans popped big time for the farm animal. I mean, the chant of yes and the Daniel Bryan, they ensued, and it was just such a big, lovely thing. And, you know, there's no denying or questioning that he is over because he's over like a motherfucker. So he proceeds to cut a promo from the stage. And at this point, I'm thinking, and I'm not just thinking, I'm hoping that somebody attacks him from backstage. Well, you know, Owens and Zayn attack him from right there at the stage. And but no, that didn't happen. Instead, he cut the killer promo or whatever, and he made the proposal of Owens and Zayn facing Shane O'Mac and himself at WrestleMania. And so then we had that deal where if they get fired, they win – and they get reinstated back to SmackDown.
Yep.
That's Owens and Zayn. Or if they lose, they're fired from SmackDown.
Yep. Now,
Joe,
I'm thinking
we have the what do they call that? The draft or a superstar shakeup coming up. So that tells me that Shane O'Mac and Daniel Bryan might win this match. What do you think?
Yeah, I get. To me, and that could be true. It could be the surprise thing. I think one of two things are going to happen. Either Shane's going to accidentally bump into Bryan, and then Bryan's going to hit Shane McMahon, or Bryan is going to flip and hit Shane McMahon to let KO and Sami Zayn win. I think there's going to be a tussle between Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan in this match.
Man, good call. Oh, man, I had not even thought about that. That's why I love these discussions like that, because that just, you know, shakes everything up for me in my head.
Yeah. Well, there's also a rumor. Some people are saying that Shane McMahon actually is hurt and he may not be ready for WrestleMania. And the rumor is if he doesn't make it, the guy who will replace him is Chris Jericho. So it may be Brian and Jericho WrestleMania if Shane McMahon actually can't make the match.
I had not heard or read anything like that. I've been trying to stay away from the spoilers, and then I thought, well, maybe I should, you know, go read them, but I'm still trying to stay away from them as much as possible. But yeah,
gotcha.
That just blew my mind. I had no idea about that. So I guess if Shane O'Mac is really, I mean, he looked like his head was going to explode last week.
Yeah. Well, he always does.
That beat down.
Yeah. He's always got like a big red face all the time.
Oh, man, he looked like his head was going to explode. Like he was going to die right there, man. So that'll be interesting to see how this develops between Zane Owens and Shane O'Mac and Daniel Bryan, or perhaps even Daniel Bryan and Chris Jericho. Things will never be the same ever again. So then I don't know what happened after that. Maybe some filler. I don't know. I got lost for a little bit. And then the New Day came out, though, and they cut a nice promo. And, you know, since I've been watching again, Big E has been cutting some brilliant promos since I started watching this shit, you know, 3 or 4 weeks ago. And then the other two guys, they came in, Kofi and Xavier Woods, they started gelling, and they spoke a little bit, but I thought it was a brilliant promo from the New Day. The first promo I saw them cut was on the Usos, when they were telling the Usos something about that they, what was it, that they went in and took it. They went into the field and played instead of staying on the sidelines. I thought that was an epic promo. And so
that
I was
fantastic.
Paying attention to this promo. It was, man. It was absolutely badass. So I paid particular attention to this promo, and man, Big E is like he's really impressing on the promos, man. I'm wondering when they are going to break this up with the New Day or what, because I have to tell you, Joe, when we first started doing this, New Day was brand new. I can still remember you used to pop for them and mark out for those guys big time.
Oh, I love them.
Yeah, I still,
man,
I still find them.
They're almost as great as Gangrel.
Now that's a wrestling icon right there, a pop wrestling icon, but an icon nonetheless. So you get the match, right? And Kofi is playing cheerleader while Woods and Big E are taking care of business in the ring. But then the Bludgeon Brothers, man, they were too much, and the Usos came out, and a freaking melee ensued, and it ended up with the Bludgeon Brothers standing tall again this week.
Yeah.
With the Usos and the New Day backing away. So, obviously, this is leading to some multi-tag match at Mania. I don't know if it's been announced or not, but obviously that's what it's leading to me.
They did announce it. It's going to be a triple threat. They did announce it. It's going to be a triple threat tag match. That's WrestleMania.
And so who are they setting up to win, man? The Bludgeon Brothers have been just annihilating these guys lately.
So here's what I hope happens. This is Joe's kayfabe corner or whatever.
Joe's kayfabe corner.
What I hope happens is that the Bludgeon Brothers win at WrestleMania. And then they have a program with the Usos. And the Bludgeon Brothers and the Usos keep fighting back and forth at pay-per-views. And that'd be fine. I didn't think I was going to like the Bludgeon Brothers, but the way they wrestle and the fact that they hit each other before they hit the other team, I think it's great. I like it a whole bunch. But what I want to have happen is the New Day loses, then they go in for a singles competition to win either the U.S. belt or the WWE Championship. And then I would think Big E wins the championship, and then they go and try and freebird the championship that they have. But since it's an individual championship, it leads to them arguing whether they can freebird or not. They all start fighting. SummerSlam, triple threat match, all in New Day versus each other for the championship. And then they throw like a fourth person in there who steals it from them. The New Day loses the championship. They don't have it anymore. Then they get in the ring together and agree that they'll never let a title get between them ever again and go back to being the New Day. That's what I hope happens.
Now that...
I want them to break it up, but just for like 6 months.
You want what now?
I want New Day to break up and like fight each other, but only for like 6 months. And I want them to come back and act like, hey, let's just act like it never happened.
Yeah, I like that. I like the acting like it never happened bit, you know? Sometimes you have to let things go like that. It never happened, man. It's all good. It's all good, man. So, yeah, I don't know where this is going, man. I would love to see the Bludgeon Brothers come up. I think that, you know, those guys have good chemistry. The guy with the dark hair, I forget his name, man. The dirty shirt and the dark hair.
Luke Harper?
His name. Yeah, Luke Harper. That guy is intense, man. That guy is intense in the ring, and I'd like to see them do something with that guy, you know, but I don't know that they'll move on him. It seems like they've had chances, you know, after they broke up with Wyatt and whatnot, but yet here they are back again together. Is that meant to be for them?
Well, they tried to have Luke Harper in a singles, like, run for a while, and it just didn't. I thought it was fine, but, you know, I guess Vince just wasn't happy with it. And Eric Rowan by himself is not very good, so I think they're just going to retry it together in this weird tag team where they're just, like, they're just weird people. What do you think, Minister, they're ever going to hit anybody with those hammers?
I don't know, but I would like to see it.
Yeah. They swung pretty hard in that SmackDown. I was like, gee, that's – holy moly, that's a – pretty hefty swing of that hammer, but you could have killed the guy.
Yeah, I would definitely like to see it. But ladies and gentlemen, we will be right back after these words. Tune in.
This is Monday Night Fallout with your host, Double L, Loverboy Langlois, Minister of Sinister, and T-Rock Plutonium.
Thank you for the applause after playing the wrong bumpers. Playing the wrong spots and the wrong bumpers. Thank you very much for the applause. And we'll just move along, right along, huh? So we had Tyler Breeze versus Heel Ziggler. And
yeah,
an inconsequential match, man, with no value. But I have to ask you this, Joe. You know, because like I said earlier, you know, when we did this a few years ago, you were really high on New Day, and they were just taking off. I mean, I remember it well. Did Breezango, did you get the same feeling from Breezango that you got from New Day at all?
I love Breezango. You heard it here first. I love Breezango. I think they're great. I think Tyler Breeze and Fandango are fantastic comedy vehicles that happen in WWE. I think the stuff Fandango does is so weird and funny. But the WWE, they gave him like one quick little run to try and beat the Usos. And I thought it was a fantastic run when they had that for the title. But, yeah, they'll never let him win anything. So, I mean, they don't take them seriously, and WWE hates the idea of a comedy act having any titles. Because I guess the Heath Slater Rhino run didn't do so well. But I think Breezango's so funny. I thought it was great when Fandango was running around because he thought Ziggler was chasing him, but Tyler Breeze is chasing Ziggler. I laugh so much. The only person in that match I hate is Ziggler. I hate Ziggler. I'm so done with Ziggler.
I think everybody's done with Ziggler nowadays.
Yeah. I mean, his intro is so dumb. His intro is the music stopping because he doesn't like the music, and then the music plays anyway. And it's like, well, why do you even do the record scratch noise? Just stop doing it. Like, what is wrong with these people? It's just upsetting.
I kind of got excited when I saw him come out, and I hadn't seen this whole record scratch thing. The record scratch thing happened, and then he came out to no music. And I was like, man, this is a badass heel entrance. And then his freaking music started and ruined it for me.
Exactly. That's what happened. Before you had started watching, he had done this run where he was making a big deal about how nobody likes him or he's not over. And he's like, oh, it's because I don't have a fun entrance song, where he keeps coming out of other people's entrance music and, like, cosplaying as them. But then he goes, his new entrance was just, like, their record scratch in silence. And then everyone hated that. So they kept the record scratch in silence, but then added the music in again. It doesn't make any sense. Just future endeavor him. Just get him off of WWE. I'm done with it.
They just gave him a new contract, is something
yeah, so
I read
dumb.
Recently.
So
I don't
dumb.
Know how many years or what, but he's making like $3.5 million a year or something like that to take those ass beatings.
Yeah, we really need a guy to, when somebody shows up to WWE, we need someone to lose to the new guy. Oh, I guess we'll just pay Ziggler way too much money to do that. I hate Ziggler so much.
Yeah, I never did like him. I never did like him, but I know people love them. People used to love that guy, and everybody freaking turned on him. I don't think anybody likes him. I don't even think his own mother likes him anymore. Is that possible?
Well, he had the only good thing he's done in the last 2 years was he had he was going after the Miz for the belt, and they had the belt versus Ziggler's career match, and that match was fantastic. But it also was mainly because the Miz was great. The Miz made it great, not Ziggler. Ziggler's just good in the ring, but we have a lot of people that are good in the ring. You're not any better than anybody else, Ziggler. So
I've always said, Joe, Ziggler would be great if he was, he would be great. Oh, yeah, Ziggler would be great if he was half as good as he thinks he is. I've always said that about Ziggler. So moving on, let's see, that's where I stopped taking notes. So this should be extra bad. Yeah, this should be extra bad. But moving on, let's see here. We had the final match, I think it was, with Shinsuke Nakamura and AJ Styles in his corner. And that match was going to be against, who was it?
Shelton Benjamin.
Oh, yeah. Shelton Benjamin with Chad Gable in his corner, and so they had the discussion earlier about, you know, being in my corner, not because I need you, but, you know, just so that we can still have the greatest match or what have you. You know, they sold it to us really well. And so we got out there, and, of course, Shinsuke won everything at the end, hand raised tall, the whole thing. Let's see here.
Then they jumped him, and then Shinsuke took care of it himself. But then they jumped AJ, and then Shinsuke beat him up again.
That's
and
exactly
then Shinsuke
how
went to the Shinkasa against AJ and stopped, and then petted his head like a little dog. It was awesome. I loved that so much.
Did you like the petting on the head? Like a little dog?
Yeah, that was so funny. Yeah, just AJ looking like, he's like, come on, man, what are you doing? And you just pet him on the head, and he leaves.
There was a brief discussion in Bud's back room about these guys. And Shinsuke Nakamura, some people think it's his time, that it's his time and that he will win. I don't think that just yet, though. I mean, it might be his time, but they might make everybody wait a while longer. I still think that it's AJ Styles' time, and they're going to let him have his moment, quote unquote, at WrestleMania this year. Of course, you know, I could be wrong. What are your thoughts going into that?
I have no idea. I will say that is probably of all the matches, the one I have the least amount of knowledge of what's going to happen. I don't, like, I think keep it on AJ Styles, because I think he's good as the champion right there. I'd love Shinsuke to get it, but I don't know if WWE really wants to make that move. I really don't know. And I don't even know what I want to have happen either, which is even better, you know? Because both situations are good, you know? So I'm going to enjoy it. I think that match is going to be the match of WrestleMania, the best match of the whole pay-per-view. I think, and I think that it's going to be satisfying either way. And I'm very excited for Daniel Bryan versus Shinsuke or Daniel Bryan versus AJ next year, whenever they do. Because I think Daniel Bryan will be for the title for next year's WrestleMania.
If he's healthy.
Is my guess.
I don't see why he wouldn't.
Yeah, of course, if he's healthy.
Let me ask you this, though. Because I have to know. The people want to know. Dream match for the fans, the way they are building it up? Is it the dream match?
I think it's a dream match for the fans that know wrestling outside of WWE, because they wrestled in NJPW, the New Japan Wrestling, and their match was amazing. It was an amazing match. And so I think they're just trying to recreate that in WWE. But WWE has no idea how to make a storyline work where they don't really care as much about the people as they're like Roman Reigns is or other people. But I think in the ring, that match is going to be absolutely stellar. When Shinsuke fought Sami Zayn when he came in, that match was still one of my favorite matches of the last like 3 to 4 years. So I think it's going to be a great match. And it may not be a lot of people's dreams match, because they don't really know what's going to happen or really understand the backstory of the wrestlers outside of WWE. But when they watch that match, you're going to be like, okay, we get it now. This is fantastic.
Yeah. Now, here's the question, though.
Okay.
Which match would you prefer to see as a closing match? AJ versus Nakamura or Reigns versus Lesnar?
I would love to see AJ Styles versus Nakamura in a 30-minute match to close WrestleMania. My personal feelings. I think I know what's going to happen, Reigns and Lesnar. I think I know how that match is going to go. I'm over the whole Lesnar thing, and I'm totally over the whole Reigns thing. I get it. You want him to be the title holder. Each year with Roman Reigns, it feels like the same thing. It's like, okay, I know they're going to do this, so let them do a WrestleMania. That way they can stop doing it. Like when he beat up Triple H or when he beat up The Undertaker. It's like, okay, well, let's just get it done with and we'll move on and hopefully wrestling's different. But each time they beat, like WWE beats me down, they're like, this is what's going to happen, whether you like it or not. Roman Reigns is going to beat the Lesnar at the WrestleMania. And you're like, okay. Well, I guess we'll watch it then. I am sick of him. I hate him. I like Roman Reigns as a wrestler. I think he's fine. But the way the WWE like books him and shows him out to the WWE universe, I'm over it. I'm done with him.
You're over it and done with him. Well, I'm going to tell you something, man. I think I would like to see also, you know, I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't object at all if they put on Styles and Nakamura last. I think it's going to be a hard-hitting, heavy action match, man. I mean, that's what they've groomed us here these past few years, you know? I mean, at first it was like everybody was so obsessed, you know, in the chat rooms or whatnot, in the thread. Everybody was obsessed. You're either for the big guys or for the little guys, and it's like the little guys, you know, they can't be called midgets because they're not. Everybody was taking offense and this and that. you know, you call Daniel Bryan a midget, and if you don't, you're pro Reigns or what have you. You know, man, I just want to see some good hard-hitting action at this point.
Yeah.
I could give a shit anymore about how big these guys are or anything. I just want to see some hard-hitting action that's believable, you know, something that I can relate to, and you know, that's what I want to see, man. They're not giving that to me lately, but we'll talk about that, I guess, another day. In the chat room, Ralph is, of JPS is saying that Jan Snorman is lame and boring as fuck, bro. And he is not my favorite wrestler. Jan Snorman.
Geez. Wow.
And we have Dirty D, Done Dirt Cheap, just walked in. Just got home from a hard day's work, no less. So what's up, Dirty D? Also, I'd like to give shout-outs this time to all the folks listening around the world. We have people listening to us from Malaysia, from Norway, the UK, some other countries. Let's see, Dominican Republic, Chile, and Brazil. Brazil showed up. So shout out to everybody. And oh, Canada. We get a lot of listeners from Canada. I don't know how that happens, but we certainly do. So shout out to
Canadian
the listeners from Canada. Yeah. I think there's some in the Yahoo chat going on right now. But Bud's Back Room is the place to be. And apparently, Eliminator Kane has now been deleted from Bud's Back Room. I don't know what that means, but certainly if you want to find out, check it out. And ladies and gentlemen, we will be right back after this. You want to be tough, better do it, can't so beat it. But you want to be bad, just beat it. Don't know what to be.
Monday nights on the World Generation Podcast Network. In association with Bud's Back Room, the greatest wrestling podcast, Monday Night Fallout returns with T-Rock Plutonium, Loverboy Langlois, Minister of Sinister, and special appearances by the Wolfpack, Hollywood KV, and more. Plus the rebirth of the IWC. Stay tuned on the World Generation Podcast Network. Monday nights will never be the same again.
Ah, Monday nights have changed, man. They've taken the world by storm now that the Monday Night Fallout has returned to the Rural Generation Podcast Network. Yeah, it's a big deal, man. If you're around on Monday nights, man, give us a call. We'd love to have you.
Monday night has changed. Monday night has changed so much. It's Wednesday now.
You know, it really has, man. Things have just changed so much nowadays that, you know, I just don't know what day of the week it is anymore. But apparently today is Thursday, the 29th, and you are in Weston, Missouri. Is that correct? Weston, Missouri?
Yes, I am. Weston, Missouri.
Weston, Missouri.
So if you are
in the area, go see Joe Bates tonight in Weston, Missouri. Where are you at now?
It's the Cave. It's a place called the Cave. I assume it's a down and dirty bar.
Nice. Those are the best ones, huh?
Yeah, it should be all right.
I mean, if you're looking for down and dirty, I'm assuming those are the best ones.
Yeah, Caves are always pretty down. They're pretty dirty.
So let's see, what else do we have to talk about? Let's see here. We were going to talk about, I wanted to ask you this as we wind down. We are on the road to WrestleMania right now. But my question is, has WWE failed to deliver the goods this year?
Wow, that's a good question. I I think there are very, very, very good things that are happening. There's some real high points. I think the fact that we're even getting an AJ Styles Nakamura match at WrestleMania is a great thing. I think the tag team division with New Day and Usos has been fantastic this year. I think NXT has been great. I'm kind of over the Roman Reigns stuff. I'm kind of over Kurt Angle. I find Kurt Angle to be really annoying and bad at acting. But this has been the least promoted WrestleMania. Like, this WrestleMania has not been... It feels like you were saying earlier, it feels like it's been thrown together last second, which I'm not a huge fan of. But the one thing WWE has gotten right this year, better than anything, is Braun Strowman. That guy is fantastic. He's great in every way you can be great. He threw a grappling hook on a scaffolding and pulled it down. He threw a grappling hook on the first try and connected it. You know how hard? I don't know, Minister or Senator, if you've been throwing grappling hooks in your life, how often you do that? I've never done it. But looking at it, like I've done it in video games, I can't even write in video games. So I can't know how he does it in real life. All the pressure's on him. That's great. He flips over a semi, flips over an ambulance. I hope WrestleMania flips over the whole stadium. I wouldn't even be surprised. I'd be okay with it. Flip over the wrestling ring. He's the best. I love Braun Strowman. He played a giant guitar and broke the guitar and then hit Elias. it was Elias. I don't know. Elias. Elias, man, who's also been great. I like Elias. And then the other big one is
too.
Miz. The Miz has been fantastic this year. But yeah, but then you got Ziggler and you got Roman and you got people that you don't know what to do with, like Baron Corbin. They all suck. I'm tired of them. But Braun Strowman, that's why that comment, you know, I wish Eliminator Kane wasn't deleted. I wish that guy who said Jan Borman was deleted. That's the guy. They didn't delete that. I want a future endeavor him. You know, once I beat the Undertaker at WrestleMania this year with my 1-2 stomach punch, I'm coming after that guy with my 1-2 stomach punch. My finisher, I do quick punches right to the stomach. You better work that ab out because I'm going for it.
Whoa. Joe Bates cutting a promo there. He's coming after Ralphus, apparently. Hey, I have to say, though, in all seriousness, you know, when I stopped watching, I was still not impressed with Braun Strowman. To me, he was just a guy, you know, and the neckbeards all loved him. I could not see what they saw in him. After taking 8 months off and coming back, the guy is freaking, man, he is something. He has really improved on his promo skills, and his in-ring skills have gotten much better. And, I mean, I'm just waiting on this guy to explode. But, you know, I hope, you know, and here we go again, you know. Hopefully he's going to be the guy that Bray Wyatt wasn't.
Yeah.
You know, he reminds me of a Bray Wyatt type. But his, I mean, his he is just balls to the wall in that ring. He can do the physical things that guy can do for being his size. I mean, it's amazing.
He's fast, which is crazy.
He is fast. What was that guy, Bray Wyatt, when he was Husky Harris? He was like the some type of Cadillac or some shit with a fucking tractor motor or some kind of crap with a Ferrari engine. Braun Strowman is the whole freaking thing, man. He is awesome, and I'm sold on the guy. He's managed to sell me, man. I'm on board with Braun Strowman now. But apparently, he doesn't really have anything going on and going into, you know, this WrestleMania except for this tag team champion thing. And I'm wondering what they're gonna do there. You know, could they just let him go out there and he's going to be the tag team champions by himself the way, you know, Daniel Bryan and Kane were claiming to be, I'm the tag team champions.
I think he would actually
be able to say it.
I would love the idea of Braun Strowman being tag team champions by himself, but I think they're going to give him a tag team champion because otherwise, how is he going to lose him if he's that ridiculous? But I would love it if they did it, but I think there's one guy who's not been seen on Raw in the past couple of weeks, and he's the one that's going to show up at WrestleMania. The guy's name I could not get right earlier, Elias.
Elias.
I think Elias is set up to be his partner for WrestleMania.
Huh.
I don't know why, but I don't know who else I'd pick.
You know, they might have him and Elias come out and, you know, I would like to see that. Elias comes out, they beat him down, Strowman wins the titles by himself, then they go into a comedy-type storyline, you know, between those two. I think it could be potentially gold.
Yeah.
Take him a piano out there so he can sit there and play the piano.
Just like Mankind and The Rock kind of thing.
Exactly. And I think that could work out. I really do. So I think that's going to do it for this episode. Enough with the wrestling talk. But there was one more little topic, though, one more little thing. And I'm gonna go ahead and touch on it since I wrote it and, you know, we didn't get to it. But I wanted, what about Hulk Hogan? Is he returning anytime soon? Yes or no?
He'll probably be a part of next year's WrestleMania as like some guest or whatever. I don't like it. I'd rather he not be back, but I think he'll be back next year.
Yeah, I think he'll be back too. However, we'll have to see, man, because you know the fans can be very demanding, and they might try to bring him back next year, and it might be too soon for the fans, you know, or they may never forget. They may never forget. Look what happened with Moolah, you know. I mean, who, you know.
Well, Moolah did probably the worst things I've ever seen a person do. So. I mean,
that was a botch from hell, man.
I think the only person who did worse stuff than Moolah was probably Chris Benoit.
Oh, man. I was there in costume. I was in my Minister of Sinister getup. I was gonna do a sermon for McMahon, and then it just fizzled away, man. But that's another story. One more thing, Joe. Guilty pleasures,
okay.
Man. What are your, some of your guiltiest pleasures that you have?
Outside
if we could
wrestling?
Talk seriously for a minute. Outside of wrestling, yeah. And they have some examples.
Oh, man.
In case you're having trouble, they have some examples.
Well,
I'm gonna share them with you. I'll share a couple with you.
Thank you.
Having an extra scoop of ice cream or a slice of cake. Falling asleep in front of the television or even at the cinema. Staying in your pajamas all day. Stealing soaps and toiletries from hotels or even your friends as they put you up while you're on tour. Drinking juice directly from the carton. Or what about weird celebrity crushes? Go ahead, Joe.
Well, I'll tell you the two things for me. One, one of my guilty pleasures that, you know, at this point I own it. I love the TV show This Is Us. Oh, man. This Is Us.
I've not seen
it. It's a tearjerker, and it gets me every time. It's just a family. It's a family trying to make it work, okay? And it's the family trying the best they can. It's so good. And my girlfriend and I like it a whole bunch. And it gets me teary-eyed, and I like being a little bit teary-eyed when I watch This Is Us. My second guilty pleasure, just randomly, I like to cut brake lines of random cars that I see. That's a story for a different day. No, I'm kidding.
So those are your guilty pleasures, huh?
Yeah.
I have some myself.
I scoop my ice cream. How about you, Minister of Sinister?
Yeah, well, yeah, you know, I do have some guilty pleasures. One of my guilty pleasures, I can't believe I'm going to share this with everybody, but fuck it. I'm going to share it because I saw some bullying going down. And it wasn't really bullying. It was a joke that got fucked up, and, you know, some people took offense. And I could see why they took offense. You know, it was, I don't know. But still, I could see it that it was a joke. And this happened earlier on Bud's Back Room. And somebody posted that he was going to take a break for a while so he could go watch a soap opera. And, you know, some people went up in arms and made fun of him for watching a soap opera and stuff. So it turned into a big thing, you know. But one of my guilty pleasures, man, dare I say, I watch Bold and the Beautiful. There, I fucking said it, man. I watch Bold and the Beautiful, damn it. I watch it. We don't watch it daily, my girl and I. We watch it. We binge watch it. So we record it all week long, and then we try to find a spot sometime over the weekend, and we get caught up on it. You know, is that such a bad thing, man?
You make me feel better about the This Is Us thing. So this is good.
Yeah, that's one of my
Bold and the Beautiful.
Right,
not a General Hospital guy, Young and the Restless.
Man. No, I'm not into the Young and the Restless, man. I don't think I could take an hour. The Bold and the Beautiful is 30 minutes. I can take that, man. But an hour, I don't know about that, man. Another guilty pleasure, though. Another guilty pleasure I have is each and every week I find myself elated and just beside myself, man, to have the opportunity to get here and talk to headliner Joe Bates and have an audience such as Bud's Back Room and the people following us on Yahoo. I mean, these people care about what we say. And that is one of my guilty pleasures. I just love it.
Too, Minister. Me too.
And so, yeah, you know, I can understand, you know, it may have been a joke, and Wesley is back, but he didn't like it. He didn't like that they were saying that he was gay, and I can't say I blame him. I can't say I blame him. You know, it's just a soap opera. It's just a soap opera, and, you know, I watch one too, and I'm not gay, and even if I was, it would be okay.
Yeah, I'll tell you that. So, I'll tell you, it sounds like that chat room is a real soap opera.
It can be, man. It can be. Joe, thank you very much for joining us. I certainly do appreciate you being here. Can we get a round of applause for
Joe? Oh, man. So proud.
So, Joe, we've already plugged your show for tonight. Anything, anywhere else? Where else are you this week?
Friday, 4 p.m., Thank You Very Much, the other podcast I run. It's going to be Best Dinosaur, where I'm ranking that one with two actual live paleontologists.
Awesome.
So that'd be cool. If you like dinosaurs, just want to hear stupid shit about dinosaurs, listen to that. And you can like that Thank You Very Much page on Facebook and subscribe on YouTube. And outside that, you can follow me on Twitter at JoeAmerica22 and Instagram at Joe Bates Comedy.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Joe Bates, for being here. And as he said, you know, follow him on Twitter. And he, of course, he's going to have a show tonight. Joe Bates, thank you for being here. And I think we're at the end of the rope here. If I could just find the closing theme, maybe I won't find it. I'm not sure, but we'll see. I'm looking for it right now as we speak, but shit, there's so much crap in here. I don't think I'm going to find it, but I do have something called Dinosaurs here. Joe's show tomorrow right here on the World Generation Podcast Network. And we will get that show on for you tomorrow, 5 p.m., I think it is. Check your local listing. Thank you for joining us.
Perfect.
Have a safe day. Bye-bye.
This has been a presentation of the World Generation Podcast Network.